Happy Monday and welcome in to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fabulous weekend. We got a big week here in Nashville. The NHL draft in town this week, headlined tonight by the NHL Awards. So Connor McDavid and company in town to, I would imagine Connor McDavid's probably going to have a busy night tonight at Bridgestone Arena with the awards that he's going to bring in. And the NHL draft first round underway on Wednesday. So a big week here in Nashville. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, big week. I'm doing all right. Left my cell phone on the counter. So I had to double. It was one of those things you got to make a choice. Like, I mean, you know, you can get through 3 hours of show, no phone, probably would have been fine. But then again, I was like, yeah, I think I gotta do it, man. I got to go back and get it. So I did, and I made it.
You made it with like 5 or 6 minutes to spare.
Yeah, I actually hit some lights that I haven't been hitting lately. So I hope Izzo wasn't too pissed off.
No, he was fine. Yeah, he had already left by the time you got here. He had to catch a flight, go back home, and, you know, he'll be back in the morning.
Yeah, but yeah. And, you know, they've got team workouts and whatnot.
They do.
Yeah.
Nick Fraser, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Robert. Good morning, Joseph. Doing well. Just, you know, trying to keep things afloat, as Nick, I told Robbie.
Nick was one run off for his called shot prediction on Friday, on Saturday with LSU Florida.
Yep. One homer as well.
Three. They won 4-3. So,
ooh.
And then they did not win 4-3 yesterday.
Yeah.
They gave up approximately 1,000 runs yesterday.
Yeah, that's
pretty wild.
Yeah, it is wild. I feel like LSU is going to win for sure because they gave up 24 runs yesterday. Am I crazy for thinking that?
Yeah. I had a similar thought.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, is Skeens tonight? Is Skeens going to go?
I think you'll see him at some point.
Probably not starting, though.
Fourth inning. That's what I'm thinking. Third or fourth inning.
All right.
No, he threw 100 pitches the other day, so I don't know how much he can bring to the table, but I think you'll see him at some point tonight. So looking forward to that. The College World Series Championship coming tonight. We'll get back into a little college baseball discussion later in the program because some interesting rumblings going on around the University of Tennessee and their best pitcher. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit later in the show today. We have Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio joining us at 7 o'clock. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that as well. Joe, some big news over the weekend related to the Nashville Predators. The Predators trade Ryan Johansson to the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for pending unrestricted free agent Alex Galchenyuk. Predators also retaining 50% of Johansson's salary in that trade. So Johansson's got 2 years left on his contract at $8 million per season. Predators will take $4 million of that in each of the next two seasons. And the Ryan Johansson era in Nashville is now over. I didn't necessarily see that one coming over the weekend, Rex. So what'd you make of that move? The Predators and Barry Trotz finding a way to move that Ryan Johansson contract. And his new team now, the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, well, I found out about this from a text from you while watching my daughter's flag football practice. And as soon as you, whatever your text, it was like, oh, wow, you know, Barry Trotz did this or whatever. I was like, uh-oh, Saros is out. Holy cow. So when I quickly then realized what it was, you know, it's like one of those things where you were expecting this thing. And so you're like, oh. And I was like, wow, I'm the same thing. I didn't see that coming, but let me ask you this off the jump on this. Does this tell you that had they not been able to find a trade partner, they were going to buy him out?
I don't know. I mean, it's I could see that line of thinking. Yeah. I mean,
like it's just time to start fresh.
Like the
only
thing,
young guys have more time and all that stuff.
Right. Like, I mean, the only thing I would say is if you buy him out, it would have added 2 more years onto this.
But less money, right?
It would have been
4 years. Right.
So, you know, would they have wanted to do that for an extra 2 years? I don't know. But, I mean, I could see him going down that road. If they were willing to do this and eat up half the salary for the next 2 years, you know, what's the difference in adding $2 million in cap hit 2 years beyond that?
Yeah, because I'd kind of talked myself into, they're not going to buy him out. Like, you know, he can still be a useful player. It's just a different role. And I think some of the stuff Barry Trotz said, at end of the year when they hired Andrew Brunet, you know, that to me, it very spoke clearly about a guy having a different role, right?
Yeah.
But then you can go back and read those quotes and read them as, yeah, they're ready to just move on one way or another from him, you know. But either way, they did find the trade partner, and I'd be interested to see fans' reaction to this. It seems like, for the most part, people embrace this. I think it's – I mean, look, I think it makes it less likely they make the playoffs next year, because even if Johansson, as a disappointment, still can give you 50 points, right, and still do some things for you and help you be better. So I think it does make it more clear that next year is a see the young kids – You know, there's moves that we don't know that they might make this offseason. So, we don't know that for sure. But right now, that's where it's pivoting, toward young and non-playoff team.
Well, a couple of things in the aftermath of that trade. John Glennon from the Nashville Post caught up with Barry Trotz over the weekend and discussed the Johansson trade. And number one, Alex Galchenyuk coming back in the trade. He's a pending unrestricted free agent. So that means they basically got a week figure out if they want to sign him to a contract or not. Now, according to Glennon, and this is not a big surprise, Trotz said Nashville unlikely to sign him before he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, he's just a name floating back to make the deal happen.
Right.
Yeah, he won't be a Nashville Predator.
He won't be a Nashville Predator. And look, I mean, Galchenyuk's 29 years old. He's got, I believe, one 30-goal season under his belt. He hadn't done anything of note since basically 2017-18, that year. I mean, I take that back. So the year after that in Arizona in 18-19, he had 19 goals, 22 assists, 41 points. Ever since then, I mean, it's been basically nothing. So I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to sign him. I mean, you could get him really cheap, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to take up a roster spot that way if you're the Predators. So it doesn't look like Galchenyuk is going to be signed by the Predators back in this deal. So this is a salary dump is what it is. It's a salary dump of Ryan Johansson's contract. He also had Barry Trotz a pretty interesting quote to John Glennon from the Nashville Post. And it said this, quote, "We can wish upon a star and see if we can go one more round, but it hasn't happened. Since 2017, we haven't done much. I think it's time to create a new core. I think Roman Josi's got lots of hockey left. Saros has lots of hockey. Forsberg's got lots of hockey. Those are three pretty good pieces out of the gate." There was one name in there I noticed that he didn't mention, and that is Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
A part of that, too. So I wonder.
That struck me, too.
Like, are they trying to move his contract right now? Like,
so much harder than Johansson.
It is.
Though.
I mean, but let's say you, first off, nobody's taking his full contract. So you would have to then do what you just did with Ryan Johansson.
Can you do that
and
twice?
Add another salary to it. And let's say you had to eat half of it. I mean, you doing that again?
I don't think you can do what they just did twice. So I think Duchene is here for the haul, man. That's so then you'd be talking about, okay, so Duchene is sitting here at what? He's got how many more years left?
3 years.
He's got 3 years left at $8 million. I don't think you can do that, can you?
I think so.
I think you need to hope that he is rejuvenated by these young guys and he can still give you, you know, a couple 30-goal seasons.
Well, let me take it back. You could do it. Now, will they want to do it? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they've got even more cap space. I think they're somewhere in the neighborhood of like $19 million worth of cap space right now. So, you know, with the younger guys coming in, I don't expect them to be big players in free agency this year, so it's not like you're about to go spend a ton of money. So, I mean, you could do it. Do you really want to eat that up for the next 3 years?
Like, you've already cleared a spot with Johansson, and, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you could do that, and you can pay your roster of young guys. But I guess, to me, it's like, why not have a guy who could score 30 goals for you still? He may not be quote-unquote part of your core, and he isn't. He's still sort of like in a lame duck situation here.
Yep.
But, I mean, he can produce, you know, and maybe he is a guy who gets some rejuvenation for being on this young team and can just chip in. I would just rather pay the whole thing and hope you get something from him. I mean, you still, by the time you get to training camp, you still are looking at the team and saying, okay, how can this team make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I think you have a better chance with him. Again, you could make the case you have a better chance with Johansson, but with Johansson, He doesn't fit as well. He kind of has to be one of your top two centermen, and it doesn't really work out. To me, Duchesne, you can throw him in one of those spots on the wing and get production.
Agreed. Now, the Johansson part of this is now interesting as well. Moving forward, he'll be 31 coming up next month. And he's got the injury that he's recovering from, and we'll see how that goes. But honestly, I love, like, from his standpoint, it's a pretty good situation you're walking into. I mean, you're getting to go to Colorado, who's probably already – I mean, I know that they lost Kadri last year, and they never really replaced that on the second line. So maybe that's what they hope he is, stepping into that. But, I mean, you're walking into a team that's ready-made to win a Stanley Cup, and you don't have to be that guy. I think he can help him. I think he can be a guy, especially, you know, at $4 million. It's not like they're paying him $8 million. He can be a guy that really helps them heading into that.
I can totally see. I bet you he shows up in the best shape of – best shape he's been in. Now, again, a couple years ago, remember, they left him exposed, and he responded pretty well with that season. But I bet you he shows up in top shape and has a really good year for them. And he might just get his name on the cup.
He might. I mean, this is – I mean, you can't, to me, probably handpick a situation better than he's walking into. So that's the part of it, too, is, you know, if you're a Predators fan, I agree with you. Most of the reaction I saw over the weekend was positive to the trade, and there was time to move on. They're glad to be rid of the contract. I also wouldn't be that surprised next year if you look around at your division rival and Johansson's playing pretty well for them in Colorado. I mean, and some of that – I mean, look, some of that has to do with – who he's about to be playing with walking into that. But I would not be surprised by that at all.
There may be some watery eyes looking at Ryan Johansson.
Maybe he will get that cut.
And Ellie Tolvin and Victor Arvidsson.
Who else? Just keep going.
Mikhail Granlund.
Yes. Big season coming next year from Granlund. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rexard. We'll take your reaction to the Ryan Johansson trade. Predators make a move over the weekend. They're holding on to 50% of Johansson's contract for the next 2 years and have traded him to the Colorado Avalanche. We'll take your thoughts on that. Also, how should Ryan Johansson's tenure here in Nashville be remembered? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. The Preds trade Ryan Johansson over the weekend to Colorado. They retain 50% of his contract. Alex Galchenyuk coming back the other way. He's a pending unrestricted free agent. And Barry Trotz said in the Nashville Post that they are not expected to sign him. So it looks like a pure salary dump from the Predators on Ryan Johansson. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Bob. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I have a question, sort of a comparative question. The Titans were criticized in a NFL draft because they pretty much openly wanted to go after the quarterback they didn't get. Trotz seems to be an open book as far as his interest in getting in the top four or five in the draft. Do you think that that's a mistake, that he's that open about that?
Hi, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, it is interesting. You know, Barry Trotz is on with Chase. I believe it was Friday. I think it was Friday. I'm getting my days running together, but I think it was Friday when he was on.
You know, might have been Thursday.
He was supposed to be on at 10, and then he like called in at like 10:52, and then he traded Ryan Johansson like a day later, and everybody's like, "Whoa, maybe that's what he was working on."
He has been busy.
He has been busy. You know, look, Barry Trotz, to Bob's point, has made no bones about, you know, he would like to move up. He's talked about it. He'd like to move up. He's talked about, you know, maybe trying to get into the top five, top 10, somewhere in that neighborhood. Now, he did say in his interview with Chase on Friday that, you know, he's called about teams in the top five, and right now they just haven't been willing to budge, at least for the price that has been offered, just because, well, I mean, look, when you're picking in the top five, for the most part, you think that those guys can be franchise-changing players, especially in this draft this year that's going to be really good. So you're going to have to offer a lot to pick in the top five. But what do you make of what Bob had to say there? Like, do you have a problem if you're a Predators fan with Trotz openly discussing that?
No, I don't. I mean, I get the comparison there. the difference being, you know, basically with the Titans, it was kind of like draft day, and all of a sudden there's all this smoke around the Titans and Stroud and everything like that. So, I mean, again, they never came out and said anything. That was basically Diana Russini at Titans headquarters, you know, kind of broadcasting that. And you know, whatever you believe about that situation, I mean, that's different than this. I mean, to me, it's like just because you say you're interested in getting out there, I don't think that that's like all of a sudden altering strategy from anybody else, right? I mean, it's just – I mean, everybody knows what the score is. There's probably a lot of teams that, whether they're saying it or not, are at least making calls about that, right? So I don't think it's some big, like, telegraph or something that's going to end up hurting them or anything like that. Now, whether they can get into there, you know, I have no idea. And, you know, it's not like – now, if he was out there and said, because this is the guy we want, then I would say that'd be going too far.
Right, and he's not done that. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens on that front. You know, some of this could be – you know, Barry Trotz is pretty good at posturing too. So we'll see what happens. And what
maybe he actually doesn't want to be in the top five.
We'll see what the Predators actually end up doing. We'll see. On that front. So on the Johansson front, they've shipped him off to Colorado now. We've talked about the contract part of it. And obviously, when you look at his tenure here in Nashville, the contract's a big part of it. 8 years, $8 million per year. And you can make a pretty good argument that in three or four of those years, probably didn't live up to the money. Now, I would argue in 18, immediately after he signed the deal, he's pretty darn good. Was great in the playoffs that year, too. You know, we talk about the 17 playoffs with Johansson a lot. He was just as good in the 18 playoffs against Colorado and Winnipeg. He didn't get a whole lot of help in those two series, but he was just as good. Just go look at the numbers. I think he was at least a point per game, maybe over a point per game in the 18 playoffs. 19 regular season, I thought he was really good. He had like 50 assists. I thought he was really good that year. So there were years, in my opinion, that he did live up to the $8 million contract, but the totality of it, he probably did not. Now, he was one-for-one trade, Johansson, Seth Jones. And I said this over the weekend, Joe. It's not a coincidence to me that they brought him in, and he was kind of that piece they were looking for down the middle. And from 2016 when he came in till probably 2019 when the wheels started to fall off with this group, he was one of the main reasons for their success. And one of the things we're always going to wonder, and nobody will ever know, is if he doesn't get hurt in 2017, what happens? Do the Predators find a way to win a couple extra games in that series against Pittsburgh and win a Stanley Cup? Now, everybody talks about him being hurt. I mean, Pittsburgh had Chris Letang hurt the whole series too, so they could play the same game. What if we had Chris Letang? We can do that all day. But I do think there was a lot of good with Johansson here mixed in with not quite living up to the contract the last few years. How do you think Ryan Johansson should be remembered for his tenure here in Nashville?
Yeah, well, I mean, you tweeted – and shortly after the trade, you know, he's the best center in franchise history. And who's number two?
Probably Legwon. Maybe yeah. Fisher somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Fisher, but certainly, right? I mean, I don't think it's arguable. So he should be remembered for being at the forefront of the best hockey this franchise has ever played. And that's it. The core of that, obviously, they had the best D core in the league. Like, think about the Stanley Cup final run. Even with Ryan Ellis somehow playing how he did on a torn-up knee, Ellis, Ekholm, Subban, Josi,
yep.
Right? And you start there, and you had – but you know, Pekarinen and Johansson, I mean, and Forsberg, I think, right? Like, that's basically where you start. I guess Arvidsson, too, right? The Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson line, Rene, and that defense core. And then a lot of role players jumping in and doing special things because you always have to have stuff like that in a run. But like you said, it's not like he got paid and all of a sudden he fell off. I mean, basically, he started to fall off, and it's not like he gets all the blame, but it's not a coincidence, I think, that the whole group kind of did. You know, in that 1920 season, and Laviolette gets fired, and on and on and on. So people are going to – you know, that's the most recent stuff, the contract complaining and everything like that, but – no, I mean, he had a fantastic run here, and it was a great trade to me. I mean, it was a trade that got them within two wins of the Stanley Cup, and honestly, for them to win two games, think about it, in that matchup, yes, Letang, I think, did Letang miss the whole playoffs, or did he just get hurt somewhere along the way?
I think he got hurt somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and he missed quite a bit, I think. Yeah. But Look, if you could, if you would pick someone on the Preds roster for that matchup, other than Pecorine, the first person you keep safe is Johansson that matchup. I mean, it's so they overachieved with that, and it would have been a ton of fun to see him the way he was playing. Think about the way he played against Taves, for example, right? I mean, he was a big time.
That's why he got paid,
center. Right?
I mean, that playoff run is why. I mean, there's a couple things. Number one, they traded him straight up for Seth Jones, so they're not letting him walk a year later after that. He was a restricted free agent, so it wasn't like he was going anywhere at the time. But that's why he made the money he did. It was that playoff run, and specifically that series against Chicago, where he just totally dominated Jonathan Toews. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. So that's more the legacy than anything, you know. And yes, it is disappointing that he was never, you know, that top guy. But still really good. Kristen says, great trade for the organization, but I'm going to miss Joey. Loved his personality. One of my favorites. Cam says, Joey should be remembered for the good times. He didn't provide the 90-plus point season that we hoped for. I feel like he was a great locker room glue guy, but it was time, and us not having to throw a sweetener is huge. I totally agree with that. And, yeah, I think around the locker room, I think just about any of us who covered the team or around them at all.
It's a loss.
It's a loss, man. That guy was – he had a big personality. He was – We complain a fair amount about personality lacking in this sport and needing more, and he takes some away big time. And I always thought, even when he was struggling, I always thought he was a team guy. I always thought he was a positive energy guy and things like that, even when his own game wasn't where it needed to be, and that's a loss.
Well, it's a loss. And look, there are fair questions about him. Now, one that I've never really had a ton of time for is the effort thing. Like, there's always been the, he doesn't really care. Like, he's just kind of floating around out there. And we've talked about that before of, you know, if you're really doing that at the NHL level on a consistent basis, I mean, it's going to be glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did he have his best stuff every night? No. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, there are fair questions about consistency level with him and why did that drop off at times. And all that. Like you said, I mean, both he and Johansson, when they got exposed in the expansion draft, responded really well. Now, Duchesne was a little bit more explosive in terms of the numbers that he put up. But I thought Johansson, especially given the fact that he didn't play with any winger that year that was worth anything, played really well that season.
So he did.
We have seen him respond to some of those. And look, I mean, if you go and break down his playoff series, and they're not all great. But for the most part, outside of really that Dallas series where everybody was terrible.
They all didn't show up.
And the Colorado series where they just got absolutely smoked. Outside of those two, like he showed up when it mattered the most for the Predators. So I think that's part of the legacy too is when you got to the playoffs, he's pretty darn good for the Predators for the most part. Now it is – the more you think about it though, Joe, that Dallas series, it really just – it kind of looks like the line of demarcation with this group more and more the more you look back at it.
No doubt.
So, Ryan Johansson off to Colorado. What does this now mean for the Predators and what they do today? Like we said, they freed up cap space. They now have $4 million worth of cap space in addition to what they already had with Johansson in the next two seasons. Are they going to use it? Is there a bigger move coming between Barry Trotz and the NHL draft this week? Are they going to be players in free agency? Could they position themselves for a bigger move this summer? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Well, I think when people talk about rebuilds, it's usually a team that's had their long run. They don't have a lot of prospects. They're starting from ground zero, and you're trying to build a winner. We're not in that place, like a full rebuild. We're also not probably in that place as just a retool. We're probably somewhere in between. And when I say that is we you know, our Milwaukee team this year went very deep, and some of the key players were basically four first-round picks. That the guys like Kemmel and a guy like Evangelista and people like that were and Askarov were really, really high contributors to the run that Milwaukee had. And they've already played a year in the minors, and you saw them come up and play in the National Hockey League. So their development is really, really strong. Now we're going to add, you know, to that group that we feel is starting to, you know, pop, as we say in the business, you're adding a LaRue, a Schaefer, who's a first-round pick, Shreshnikov. You know, Kemmel went down there and played, you know, 20-some games as one of the youngest players in the American Hockey League, and was very, very good. And teams were targeting him and Evangelista because they were making a difference.
That was Barry Trotz, incoming Nashville Predators general manager, with Chase McCabe last Friday, discussing the roster for the Predators and where they're currently at. Now, that came the day before the Ryan Johansson trade to Colorado. And, Joe, it's really interesting. I'm looking at the roster right now for the Predators in terms of their cap hit. You have Matt Duchene making $8 million per year for the next 3 years. Obviously, Philip Forsberg is locked in long-term at $8.5 million per year. You want to take a guess at who the third highest paid forward is right now for the Predators based on cap hit?
Well, Ryan Johansson?
Well, yes.
Still?
It is actually still him. So I guess I should have phrased that question better. The third highest paid forward who's
on the team
for the Nashville Predators.
That is a great question. Colton Sissons?
That's who it is. Yeah. It is Colton Sissons at $2.8 million for the next 3 years. They have him under contract. They have Yakov Trenin for this upcoming season at 1.7. That's it. Like, mm-hmm. You've got, other than that, it's Tomasino entry-level, Parson in entry-level. I'm sure Evangelista, when he comes up entry-level. Novak right now, he's in, you know, you got to get him figured out, but he's got an $800,000 cap hit this year. You got to get him figured out long-term, but, I mean, they're paying hardly anything for their forwards right now. So, I'm looking at cap-friendly. They've got a projected $19.5 million in cap space as we sit here today. So, the question naturally becomes, all right, was Ryan Johansson purely a salary dump because you just wanted to move on, and it was time to move on, and, you know, go your separate ways, and now you've got some more money in the next couple of summers to tinker around and fill in the edges from here or there? Or is something else coming maybe this week? Is there something bigger coming for the Predators as it relates to a move? Now, you didn't necessarily have to move Ryan Johansson this week if you wanted to take a big swing, because I think before that you had close to $14.5, $15 million worth of cap space. So it's not like you couldn't do anything prior to moving Johansson, but I do wonder, with nearly $20 million in cap space, could something else be coming from the Predators this week? Could they involve themselves in maybe some bigger targets via trade?
I mean, you asked that, and we just listened to that clip from Barry Trotz. He said, it's not a, you know, he basically said that he downgraded this from a retool. Now, he didn't say it's a full rebuild, but he said it's something in between. Something in between tells me, does not speak to someone who's about to trade for a high-priced player. Am I wrong in thinking that way?
I don't think you're wrong. I'll put it to you this way. I think they could trade for a high-priced player if that player is 25.
Long-term,
26,
a long-term addition.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right.
Like, the idea of them going out and I'm just pulling this name out of a hat because I know he's older and it's the first name I thought of. Like, the idea of them going out and trading for somebody like John Tavares doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, who's on the wrong side of 30. Still a very good player, a very highly paid player, but I don't know that I can see them doing that.
He's going to – that's a guy a contender right now picks up.
Correct.
Right. So, here's a question. So, if you were to go out and again, Michael in Clarksville asked specifically about what? He was talking about Keller, DeBrincat.
Yeah.
If you were to go out and do something like that, does that hinder what you're trying to do? I mean, look, you want to win. You want to have a good hockey team next year. But, like, does that hinder a long-term plan with any players in terms of giving them an opportunity and really seeing them and trying to build that chemistry that maybe at the expense of success you then later have a payoff?
I think it could. Like, to me, if you're going to do it right now, you better be sure. And I realize you can never be, for the most part, like 100% sure that something's going to work out when you make a move. But, I mean, it would need to be I'm just throwing out a name here. But if you were going to make a move right now, to me, it would need to be like Mitch Marner. We're like, yeah, I know what that guy's going to be. He's going to be pretty darn good. And he might cost a lot of money, but he's going to be a huge part of what you do for the next 6, 7, 8 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. That, to me, is what it would need to be. Like, the idea of them just going out and, oh, well, we've got $19.5 million of cap space. Might as well use it. Like, I think that's that's how you end up in a cycle that you don't want to be in. And I don't anticipate Barry Trotz doing that. I mean, we referenced the, you know, the article that John Glennon put out the Nashville Post over the weekend. And one of the other quotes from Trotz was, quote, "We've just added $4 million in cap space, and we've also given more opportunity to hopefully the next Ryan Johansson that fans can fall in love with. Part of the deal was to be flexible in terms of cap, but also in terms of commitment and allowing for our young players to develop and grow." So that doesn't sound like a guy that's, you know, right now actively looking for a huge trade.
And with that quote, my immediate response is, who? Who is that? Right. Who are you referring to? Is he not here yet? Is he going to grow from the prospect pool? Is he a player to be acquired later?
Are you about to draft him this week?
Yeah, I mean, is he not? Yeah, is there not actually a specific person in mind? But he's just speaking in generalities, you know. But and that may be the answer. Now, Cam asks, "What would the Preds be comfortable giving up to move in the top 10 or to trade for DeBrincat?" Here's another. It's a good question. Obviously, we don't know. But another question based on what Trotz told Glennon this weekend. You know, he mentioned the core. He mentioned Yossi. He mentioned Forsberg. He mentioned Saros. Does that make you think more that, like, their plan is they're going to have Saros, they're going to give Saros the huge deal, and Askarov is the guy who at some point they hope they get assets for?
Not necessarily. It reinforces what I think I already believe, which is if you want UC Saros right this second, then you're going to have to come in strong with an offer. I mean, that's what it says to me, is if you want UC Saros via trade, you better be ready to pay a hefty price for it. And, you know, like we talked about last week, I don't necessarily disagree with that approach. Like, it's the draft week. This is a long part of the offseason. We see trades happen in the NHL once free agency gets underway, you know, after July 1st. I mean, heck, we see trades in the NHL and, you know, August 15th, right before training camp. So it's not like you have to be any rush. Again, that's just the way I'm reading it. Barry Trotz may look at this thing and say, these people are crazy. There is no way I would ever trade UC Saros. We're signing him to a new deal in a couple years, and we're going to be setting goal for the next 10 years. That could be the way that he views it. It didn't necessarily change my opinion on that. It just reinforces that I think that if you're going to try to acquire him this week, if you're a team, you better be ready to blow them away with an offer, because he's not coming down off that price.
Yeah. So, Cam, so is Saros part of the answer, Cam? You know, I don't know. But to me, like, if it's to move in the top 10, it's that and more, you know. We've talked about the idea of, like, straight up Saros to DeBrincat.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I mean, DeBrincat's a good player, and I think he's going to be – and he's obviously a good finisher, and, you know, if you take a deep look into his stats this year, and we talked about this last week with Adam Vingan, and he had 27 goals this year. It was a down year for him. A lot of that was shooting percentage was down a little bit, so he was still, for the most part, generating the same chances. So my guess is that wherever DeBrincat is next year, he'll be back in the 35-40 goal range, which is great. I mean, if you got that, if you're the Predators, that's awesome. I don't know that I would give up UC Saros for that, but I also don't know if you'd have to give up UC Saros for that. I mean, it's Ottawa doesn't have a whole lot of leverage in the Alex DeBrincat situation, so I'm interested to see what plays out there. Wayne on the text line says something bigger is definitely coming in the form of a first line center. Glass will be your second line center, Novak third line, and Sissons fourth line. Well, I agree. The long term plan is something to be. I mean, look. I mean, Barry Trotz, we talk about him, you know, making no bones about trying to move up in the draft. He's also made it pretty clear what they're looking for. I mean, they want a franchise-changing centerman. So does everybody else
right,
who doesn't have him.
But isn't Wayne is suggesting that that's coming right now. In terms of a ready-made first-line center, right? My question would be, who the heck? Who's the name?
Yeah, I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, I'm not saying never, because things happen in the NHL. There's a trade or two in the NHL every year that nobody sees coming. So
happened around here about 7 years ago.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying that can't happen. But, I mean, it's really difficult to find one of those guys. Predators hadn't found one in 25 years. I'm not saying you can't find it. I think the more likely path to finding one of those is going to be in the draft. And I think that's going to be what the Predators try to do this year. And, look, I think that's why Barry Trotz is trying to move up, because I think he's identified a couple of those guys that maybe he thinks they can be that way. I mean, you know, Glass, we talked about this last week too. I don't think Glass is a number one center long term? Right now, the question for me is Glass a number two center long term?
Which would be great.
Which would be awesome. If he is, that'd be good. I'm not convinced that he is yet. Novak had a great year last year. I'm still not convinced Novak is a long term top six guy. Like, people keep talking about Novak in like the same sentence as Evangelista and some of these other guys. Novak's 26 years old.
Might be
a little bit different.
Yeah, he's probably closer to his ceiling, and of course you hope so, really, because just in terms of those other guys, you hope that there's a lot more to go and that they are. But hey, all credit to Tommy Novak, what he did.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
disrespect.
Yeah,
and also Wayne, and you're talking about centermen. I still believe that Juuso Pärssinen, absolutely could factor in there significantly somewhere.
So could there be another move coming for the Predators? They have $19.5 million roughly in cap space, according to CapFriendly.com, after the Johansson deal. Should Barry Trotz use that now? 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on that next. Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio coming up at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. The Nashville Predators have partnered with Tractor Supply to bring you the 25th anniversary block party at Bridgestone Arena. Tractor Supply is here to help you live a life you love. Today through Wednesday, Music City welcomes a week full of events featuring the NHL Awards, 25th anniversary concert, and NHL Draft. Fans can enjoy this free party featuring live music, red carpet walks, games, alumni autographs, food trucks, activations, and more. Don't miss the incredible week of events starting today as the Preds celebrate 25 years. You can find more information on NashvillePredators.com. We are discussing the Predators. We'll have Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio coming up at 7 o'clock to break down the Ryan Johansson trade. Look ahead to this week's NHL draft as well. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So after the Johansson trade, the Predators have roughly $19.5 million left in cap space. Now, one caveat to that, they still have some restricted free agents they got to figure out, Cody Glass being one of them, Alex Carrier being another one. So we'll see what comes to pass on that. I mean, you could throw Cal Foot in there if you want to. I'm interested to see what they do with that. With a restricted free agent, he won't cost hardly anything. But we'll see if the Predators want to go that route or not. So it's not going to quite be $19.5 million after you get done with the Cody Glass deal and whatever Alex Carrier ends up with. So something to keep in mind on that front. But should the Predators be active and be looking to use some of that cap space and money, be that in free agency or be that via trade? You know, we've talked about the free agent class before. I'm not saying the Predators won't sign anybody in unrestricted free agency. I mean, there could be, you know, a player or two out there that doesn't cost you a whole lot that you could bring in that could play maybe a third line role for you or something like that. But I mean, you also have guys like that that are younger that I think could use those spots to develop. So that's a long way of me saying I don't think they're going to be overly active when it comes to unrestricted free agency. So when we're asking the question of should the Predators make a move and use some of this cap space, to me, if they're going to make a big one, it's probably coming via trade, because Barry Trotz, I think, has essentially told us that he's not going to be all that active with unrestricted free agents, and I don't think he should be.
Yeah, he has mentioned in the past, and this was around, I believe, the Andrew Brunette presser and press availability, as he was kind of going through free agents and, again, basically saying he's not that impressed with this class. It's not a great class, but he mentioned, like, a role player as a possibility. But to your point there, it's like that's another interesting thing. It's like, okay, maybe you have a young guy. Well, think about last year with Tomasino, right?
Yep.
The strategy was, no, let's let him be a top six guy who gets that kind of ice time and opportunities nightly in Milwaukee rather than have him with the club here and sort of in a limited role. So because there's enough young guys that you could fill out, you could fill out four lines, right?
Yeah.
Without having to go out and acquire many veterans. But that's kind of like, what do you view next year's team as, too?
Well, and keep in mind, they also, and not that any of these contracts are really prohibitive to doing anything. I mean, you could put these guys on waivers if you really had to. But they do have Michael McCarron under contract next year. They have Kiefer Sherwood under contract next year. They have everybody's favorite Cole Smith under contract next year.
Thanks for bringing him up.
I'm not saying that those guys are like automatic locks to be on the team for 82 games next year. I'm just saying they are under contract, and those are three guys that I just rattled off that can play in your bottom six if you really wanted to. So, you know, with that combined with the Parsonens and the Tomasinos and the Evangelistas of the world, and some of those guys are going to be playing in the top six. But Trennan's on the team. Sissons is on the team. Like, you've got bottom six forwards.
Right. Galore, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the question is, how many top six forwards do you have? Like, that's really right. The question you're trying to figure out right now.
And how do you want to say, you know what? Evangelista. I mean, obviously, you know, see camp, how everybody competes, how everybody plays. But is it time to say, you know what, Evangelista? Let's see. 82 games in this league. Or is it like, yeah, let's not put him in that situation quite yet? You know, it's. I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, I could make the case either way. And that's obviously Trotz and Brunette, you know, and getting together and once. But that shapes even to me now. That shapes how they go about, how serious they are about trying to get veterans who are going to come in right now and be more ready to play. You know, is it beneficial to give young guys full opportunity like that this early? Or is that a little bit like sometimes you call up a pitcher too early and then you mess up a pitch? You know, I don't know. The way that they did Tomasino last year was that kind of mindset. Like, let's not mess him up. Let's let him get better in Milwaukee.
It's really interesting. Now, we have another texter. Cam brings up a really interesting question that, you know, a lot of times we don't necessarily think about that because it doesn't get used that often. But, I mean, you could, if you're Barry Trotz, get involved in the offer sheet part of this where restricted free agents are coming up. And he brings up a name that's really interesting, Cam does, and that's Trevor Zegras in Anaheim. Now, again, if you're going to pay an offer sheet, you've got to be willing to pay whatever the contract is going to be plus the draft compensation of what that's going to look like. So, it's, I mean, that's why people hardly ever do it, is because it's a huge cost that you got to pay. Now, having said that, we saw Philadelphia sign Shea Weber to an offer sheet a long time ago, and that's why the Predators had to pay him a ton of money. That contract is still going on with Shea Weber, and that was a contract that happened in the summer of 2012. So that's how long ago that was. We saw, I think it was Aho, tried to get signed by an offer sheet by Montreal, and Carolina matched it. So it does happen from time to time where teams get in on the offer sheet stuff. That would be a bold move from Barry Trotz in his first offseason as general manager to go the offer sheet route. A lot of teams don't like it when you do that.
What if he did with Zegras?
I mean, I'd take a look at it. I mean, I'd have to.
What would they do, though?
Talking about Anaheim?
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that they would match it, depending on what it is.
He's pretty central.
He's pretty good. Now, they also have the number two pick, and I assume that that's about to be Adam Fantilli. Now, it would. I mean, to me, if you're the Ducks, I think it'd be great to have Fantilli and Zegras and Troy Terry, and that's kind of your young core that you're building with there. But, I mean, look, first off, it's not like Trevor Zegras has put up like Sidney Crosby numbers or anything like that. I mean, he scored 23 goals in both of his first two seasons, which is good. He had 42 assists this year, 65 points. Now he's 22, so you would assume that he's going to continue to get better.
And he's not working with a lot.
Right, and there's not a whole lot there that he's working with for sure. So I think he's really good. I think he could be a player that could be electrifying no matter where he is. We've seen some of the highlights that he's had. But it would be a bold move for Barry Trotz in his first year. Now, people have always made a big deal about this. Like, if you do this, it alienates some of the general managers around the league. I don't care. Like, either match the offer sheet or don't. I mean, the alienating stuff.
The rule's in place.
I mean, the rule's in place. So, if it's a rule, I don't really care if it alienates the Anaheim Ducks. Matter of fact, that'd be half the reason I'd do it if I was Barry Trotz in the press.
Get that rivalry going again.
Get that thing going. But I do wonder. We just don't see people do it a whole lot. So would Barry Trotz be willing to do that for a guy like Trevor Zegras? I don't know.
I mean, I'd be really surprised. But, hey, at this point, it's an open canvas, you know. I mean, I have a feeling that Barry – he already just did something this last weekend where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling there's going to be at least one more thing before camp happens where we're going to be like, oh, really? But it's you know, again, it just comes down to me so much to, like, what – just this year's team, are they resolved to just sort of, like, have this, whatever you want to call it, between a retool and a rebuild. That's what he said.
Yep.
And just really get a look at the, like, what Tomasino. Is Tomasino now, I would assume, like, this is got to be the year. Okay, top six forward, 82 games, go. Let's see what you've got, right?
I think, but you still have Duchesne. You have Cody Glass. You have Forsberg. You have Evangelista. You have Parsonen. That's five guys right there.
So you're counting Evangelista in.
I think, to me, he's in right now. I mean,
are you more confident that he's in than Tomasino?
Yes, I am. Yeah. That's just me, but I am. I mean, the guy was unbelievable.
I think his ceiling's higher, for sure. Like, I think in a couple of years, you know, that'll be clear. But it's, yeah, it's interesting because, like, you know, Tomasino, I still think could pan out pretty well, too.
Oh, I do, too. I think Evangelista had a better year this last year, so I think Parsons.
He's a fast riser, man.
Parsons,
no doubt,
got hurt. That's the unfortunate part about how they ended the season, was they had a lot of young guys coming up and playing well. He got hurt during that stretch. I would have loved to have seen what he could have done with that opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been, honestly, he may have taken Novak's spot, and we would have never saw that out of Novak, so maybe it was a blessing in disguise for Novak, but I would have liked to have seen Parsons and what he could do during that stretch.
Yeah, I think people are sleeping on Parsons a little bit.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio. We'll get his thoughts on the Ryan Johansson trade, look ahead to this week, and what could be coming for the Nashville Predators as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.